All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It's March 31st, 2025, last day of the month. Hope everyone's doing great. It's a beautiful day here. It's been beautiful. Definitely a change in the weather. Definitely headed towards spring. Feels good. The trees are blooming. The flowers are popping. Feels good. It's just what the freaking doctor ordered. I have been dealing with some seasonal depression. And, there isn't any medication for it. I'm not taking any medication for that. We just need to get through the season and into a new one, and that is happening, and I'm feeling better. I shared I've been sick, finally starting to feel better. I know I keep saying that, but, I've been wanting to feel better so badly, right? And, but I'm better. I'm still, I got a little bit of a little cough, or I don't know what it is, a little something in the chest, but I think it's just the remnants of the whatever it is I had. But I'm definitely starting to feel better. I've sort of flipped the switch. The seasonal depression's real. I haven't been very active, put on a little bit of weight, you know, how we do it. And you know how I do it. I shouldn't talk for you, but if you live in a wintry area, you're probably feeling a little sedentary like I am. And I've just been, I think I've walked now. I have done a little bit of paddling in this winter, but not really enough to keep it, under control. But I started walking. I did this last year. I decided I got to just, I'm responsible, right? I am responsible for my own happiness, and I can sit on the couch and be a lump on a log, or I can start getting up and walking. And so I've been doing that every morning. I've been walking about 2.2 miles. Feels good, regardless of the rest of the day. As long as that is under my belt, I feel like, I'm making an attempt. And, going with my dad, who has not been doing well. My brother has not been doing very well. A lot of people around me are not feeling very well. I think it is the season, but, it's just a great reminder. I have to take care of myself physically. I put a lot of effort into my spiritual and mental, but the physical part, as I get older, it becomes harder and harder. So I'm having to treat it like, like every other problem I have, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, one walk at a time. And, a good buddy of mine, from the program, his name is John. He was overweight. He's been heavy. He's the guy. You're doing well when you have your anniversary and John makes you a cake, and he made it the greatest cakes, right? And he was just such a great figure in our community and in the program. I've known him for a long time. Good friend of mine, not close, but always, in times of. Just when you need someone, especially when it comes to, like, he owned a car dealership, so he always knew a lot about cars, and I had to take this plate off a car, and he's like, you need this tool, and so he was just that guy, right? And he'd been trying to sell his house. He had a house in the same development as my father, and so we would talk about, how it's going, and it wasn't really going very well for him selling the house. I don't know if it was just the economy or it was just that time of year. But we would chat about it. And finally, he comes to me, he says, I sold the house. I was like, awesome. And he got a lot of money, man. He got a lot of money for that house. I was really happy for him. And he says, I'm moving to Hawaii. And I'm like, geez, John, that's freaking awesome. He's like, it's been my dream. I'm moving to Hawaii. And I'm not looking back. And I was like, good for you, brother. And he got everything together. He moved to Hawaii. And he was posting some pictures on his Facebook page. And then I guess he was about this third week there. And he had a heart attack and dropped dead.
Yeah.
No Mercy, LA Guns. That's a flash in the pan. That's from the old days, but yeah. So Godspeed to John B. I already miss him. Man, there's no guarantees in life. I don't know. It's a trip. It makes me, you know, really think about recovery and my life. And especially at my age, man, it just seems like people are dying. I'm surrounded by it. My father is not doing well. He is in his last time, I guess. I don't know. He got sick, ended up over at the hospital. We finally got him back at the VA. I just talked to him this morning. You know, I don't say I hope my father passes on, but I hate to see him exist like this. And, you know, I've been in the hospital. Even when I found this program, right? You know, I was in the hospital. I was beat up. But I had hope, right? I had wasted so much of my life. And I had expectations of trying to make the best of whatever life I had left. And luckily, I was pretty young. But, you know, I take a guy like my dad, and who's lived a full life, 87, right? You know, and there's still, you can be a young 87, I know. But unfortunately, it's not happening for him. And, you know, it's hard to find hope and reason to continue. And so it's just a bummer. But like I've said many times, super grateful to be there for him. And, you know, just grateful that he, you know, like it even matters. I don't know, right? This is this selfish side of me that is just grateful that he knows I'm sober, right? And I am grateful for that. But, you know, it doesn't matter. It matters in my life. I'm not sure it matters in his, but I know that if I wasn't, right, and I wasn't participating, honestly, if I wasn't sober, I'd probably be in jail, right, or banished, right, to some bad place, right? So I don't know how much I could have been there for him if I wasn't, but I'm grateful that I am, and I am there for him, and my brother and I went and saw him yesterday. My brother's struggling with his health. And it's a trip, man, because he is struggling. He struggles with food, right? And drinking the wrong things. And my brother's sober. He doesn't use any drugs or drink. We've both been sober. He's been sober probably 8 years now, and I'm proud of him. But he struggles with food, and I struggle with food. I don't eat that much food. It's just, at the wrong time of the night, I eat the wrong thing. And I just think it keeps me, you know, about 10 pounds overweight, and I don't like it, and it's uncomfortable, and 10 pounds and physically in my mind is 50. And it may be 20, so that might be 60. I don't know. It just feels like I'm a freaking bowling ball. And I need to cut myself a little bit of slack. But my brother, unfortunately, is, you know, he's got type 2 diabetes brought on by eating badly. And you know, my brother's had that moment. He's like, I've had it. That genius moment, that eureka moment where he's like, I figured it out. My brother's ChatGPT smart, right? And he'll look it all up, and ChatGPT will explain to him what his problem is. And part of his issue is he's on a lot of medication for his condition. And unfortunately, and it may be true, I don't know, but he believes that the medication keeps him this way. And it's to, you know, it's to help with his diabetes, his blood sugar. And he's just like, I can't get into that mode where you start losing weight. And, you know, and I'm listening to him. I'm like, yeah, brother, I hear you, man. You gotta, you know, whatever I can do to help. And, but then he continues, right, to, so, you know, he gets off the medication. He's off. And then all of the situations start happening due to him stopping the medication, which is not fun either. Constipation, a lot of issues. And he's like, I am really hurting. And so he ends up back in the, he ends up in the hospital. My dad's in one hospital, my brother's in another hospital, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And, you know, finally they decided he needed to be back on his medication, and he's decided to get back on the medication, but he's like, I got to lose 70 pounds. And so we've been talking, right? We talk every day, and it's almost like, I'm not his sponsor, but, you know, I'm his brother, and trying to give him suggestions, but at the same time, right, not being a pain in the ass, there's always that, right? There's nothing worse when you're trying to help somebody get sober or off the food, right? My brother's eating has become unmanageable in his life, and his eating and diet has become unmanageable to me, right, and to the people around him when you can't go to work because you don't feel well. It's the same freaking thing as drugs and alcohol, right? Drinking, eating, drugging, they're all character defects, I think. You know, think what you want. They're all character defects. It's the decision to do it is our problem. And him and I talked about it, and he's like, you're absolutely right. You know, before every, and my brother's biggest problem are drinks, right? He drinks Gatorade, he drinks chocolate milk, and he drinks soda. And before this all happened, he was drinking 6 or 7 sodas a day, and chocolate milk, and Gatorade Light, which is bullshit. And, you know, we'd gone over to see my dad, and I was like, Todd, you got to get off this shit, man. You got to stop drinking this garbage. Yeah, what's the matter with milk, man? I'm like, it's all sugar. Right, there's nothing matter with milk if you're an infant, right, or if you're a baby cow. But, you know, a 55-year-old adult probably should not be drinking milk. It's not really good for us. If you believe it is, that's to each his own. But my history with milk, and clearly my brother's, is it is not good. I told him the only problem with food is it doesn't get you put in jail. Right, you know, we have all had that moment. I know I've had it where I had to make a choice on my drinking and my drugging because I was going to end up either in jail or killing somebody. And it was serious. I really had to take a moment and take a look at it and make some changes. But when we eat, it's harder, right? It's harder because food is something we need. And when my dad was in the hospital over up the town or two across the way here, we all met, me, my brother, and my two kids, and they wouldn't let us all go up, so me and my oldest went up and saw my dad and then came down, and my brother's down there in the cafeteria drinking Gatorade and chocolate milk. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Oh, man. And then we, of course, had a chat about it. I'm like, Todd, you got to treat this like a drink, man, because he's like, I just need to lose 70 pounds. I go, dude, you need to lose 1 pound, right? Lose one. And then try to make 2, right? Don't make your goal so big. Don't look out. Don't project so far in the moment, just like drinking, right? You know, if you're a person that's out there that happens to listen to this podcast that struggles with drinking and you want to quit, we've got to take it 1 minute at a time. And whether it's alcohol or food, it's the same freaking thing. It's an attack. It's a spiritual malady. You know, gluttony is in the Bible. We're not the first. It's been around. And I'm just telling him, you know, Todd, you got to 1 freaking minute at a time, you know, and you got to start walking and you got to just address. I said, you can eat meat, right? You can eat like ribeyes, you can have eggs, and you can drink water. You've really beat yourself down so badly now that's really what you get. You need to eat whole food, whole food. Nothing processed. I mean, if a knife hit it, it's probably bad. But, you know, we can only go so far. But, you know, whole food, avocados, oranges, whatever. You know, and of course, he's got his ChatGPT that tells him what's good for his glycemic levels and stuff. And so I'm with that. But, you know, if it's processed, he can't eat it. And unfortunately, man, a lot of people in our country are struggling with that, including myself. Right. So I have to treat it. He needs to treat it 1 minute at a time, just like we treat this disease. And it's a great reminder and a great reason to return back to that first step where, you know, we admit that we're powerless over food and that our lives have become unmanageable. Right? Our lives have become unmanageable. I am not type 2 diabetes, but if I don't address it, I probably could be. One of the things that I noticed with my brother when he got off the medication, he became very, very tired. He had no energy. And I'm struggling with energy, so I'm starting to wonder, am I flirting, right, with this? And so I've had to take a hard look. I've had to get really honest. And this, you know, history shows that this happens to me every, you know, winter, right? I'd like to be more active in the winter, but as I've gotten older and, you know, I'm just not as active as I used to be, but you know, I've been walking. I walked this morning. I walked about 2.2 miles. I'm hoping as it gets warmer and as I lose a little bit of weight, I already feel a little better. I put on some shorts today. They fit. They fit the other day, but they, you know, there's fit, and then there's like, these actually fit. You know, I'm not squeezing into them. And so I feel the difference. So, of course, my brother, he's last 2 days, we've been talking about what he's eating, and he's like, because finally, you know, he ended up back in the ER. You know, one of the problems when you get off that medication is you cannot, you get constipated, and we won't make a gross story about it, but that becomes very, very uncomfortable. And, you know, when that isn't happening, it wrecks your life and you lose energy. And so finally he was, you know, just battling that and then ended up in the ER on IV because he became dehydrated and it was a mess. And so finally they got him back on his medication. They got some IVs in him. They got him sort of back up and running. And now, right, the act of providence, right, whatever it is that gets us to the point where the devil leaves, complete humiliation, ego devastation, and out the door the devil went, and now my brother is only drinking water and eating fresh food, and I'm really proud of him. 2 days he's been doing it now, and hopefully he won't regress. He's going back to work today. And, you know, and he missed a whole week's worth of work doing this because, you know, he couldn't go to work. And, you know, our life starts to become unmanageable to other people, and it has nothing to do with drinking and drugging. And so, you know, it's easy to get caught up in it, right? Because, like I said, we don't get put in jail because we eat too many Twinkies, right? We don't accidentally run over somebody because we had too much pizza, right? We don't punch somebody in the mouth because I had too many M&Ms. It just doesn't happen. It's usually the act of providence is a heart attack, you know, whatever it is, diabetes. And unfortunately, man, and I won't get too far into it, but our country, our food isn't very good. And hopefully we're starting to address it and people are starting to notice and people are starting to discuss it. And that's important because a lot of fat people in our country, sorry, and I'm one of them. I'm not fat. I could be. I'm flirting with danger, but I got to address it, right? And I got to get back to that first step. My health is starting to become unmanageable, and I need to address it and take responsibility and accountability and recognize what part I'm playing in this freaking disaster. And yeah, so that's where I'm at. Everything's been, you know, probably my life right now. It's really everything's pretty good. You know, I am struggling with meetings right now. You know, I do believe 3 meetings a week for me is probably good. But the devil inside me is like, I'm bored. And I am bored. I'm bored with the meetings. I'm bored with the people at the meetings. And I'm bored with, you know, the lack of recovery. And what happens is that there's a voice in my head that just is like, you know, I'm tired of sharing. You know, I don't want to share. I feel like I've said the same thing over and over. And when you get with a bunch of the same people, you know, some doing things, some aren't. You know, and one of the things I've learned in recovery, there's a lot of people that come to recovery and just sort of use it as a social event, right? You know, when I came in this program, I was pretty beat up. I was pretty broken. And I was pretty alone. And, you know, luckily, over time, right, I've adjusted. I've been able to get myself into a place where I've been able to be with other people, right? Like my wife, right? But some people can't. You know, some people are, you know, they're in a marriage or whatever, but they just sort of come into a program and they go to a lot of meetings and, you know, they don't really work on the steps. They just don't drink and go to meetings, which, you know, works, I suppose, but I'm not feeling a lot of, not hearing a lot of good stuff, unfortunately. And so, and that's, you know, right on schedule, right? This is the freaking way it works. We go to a lot of meetings and then this voice starts telling me, you don't need to go to that meeting tonight. Maybe 3 meetings is too many, right? We're not hearing a lot of recovery. What are these people doing? And then it starts to erode away the foundation of my recovery. And next thing you know, I stop going to meetings. And this has happened. It happened once and I drank. It happened twice right before the pandemic and everything got shut down. And I was like, because I remember prior to the pandemic, I was pretty, you know, not feeling part of the group. I was, you know, cynical, I think the word is. I was feeling cynical and judgmental, and then we got shut down. We didn't have any meetings, and when those meetings opened back up, I was like, I apologize. I'm sorry I ever thought that way, and I jumped back in. And 3 meetings a week has been part of my thing, and to make a long story short, I'm trying to find different meetings. So I'm going to go to a meeting today at noon. Typically, I would go tonight at 6:30, but you know, I've shared on that meeting. It is what it is. I just need to find something else to do so that when I do go to these meetings that I've been going to regularly for the last 4 years or 3 years, that I don't feel like I'm like, oh, God, right? Same old shit. So I'm going to go to a meeting today. It's a big book meeting. It's in the morning. Different group of people. That's funny how, and you know, there's like a morning crowd, there's a lunch crowd, and there's an evening crowd. And I've been hanging out with the evening crowd a lot. And so, and plus I've been, you know, I took on the secretary, or yeah, I guess it's called the secretary. I took on the secretary position for the month of March, and I'm done with that. That was stressful. In fact, I think I shared, I had set up all these people to speak for the month and then found out that basically every Wednesday of the month was taken by people celebrating anniversaries. And one of the weeks we had three people and that was a mess. And that was, you know, that was sort of the beginning of this kind of annoyance because three people shared, one person had 3 years, one person had 13 years, and one person had 20 years. And not one of them talked about recovery. Right? It was just war stories and what it was like. And you know, no one really discusses this, you know, how important the steps are because there will be a day, right, just like I'm sharing with you today, that these voices are like, you know, you don't need to go to these meetings. You go to three. You've been doing it for a long time. But see, I know the game. I know exactly what's going on. And what this means is I got to find other meetings. But, you know, early on, I was like, you're right. I got credit, right? And the next thing you know, I'm not going to meetings again, and I don't know. I don't think I would drink again. I just would be miserable. But yeah, that's what's going on. I want to get back into doing the podcast. I've been doing a lot of cool stuff outside of the meetings and outside of this podcast, which is just meeting with a couple guys that I sponsor, and we've been reading the steps, and it's been sort of interesting. I think I might have shared to kind of go back through these things and, you know, bite my tongue, right, and try to refrain from giving away the secrets, right? You know, I don't want to be the guy that's like, listen, if you do this and this, you avoid this. You know, we have to kind of go through it. I am not the teacher. I am just a guy that's been through it. And hopefully if we kind of do it together, I can help guide us through again. But you know, I'm not giving out the secrets. We each have to go through these things because it makes us stronger, right? It makes us stronger, really, when it comes down to it. It just makes us stronger and smarter and hopefully more aware when this stuff starts to come down the line. All right, I'm going to read the daily reflections. And, I apologize I haven't done the podcast. I really, you know, between being sick, and the other thing is my oldest son has been here for the last week. He was on spring break from the university that he goes to. And so he's been down here. And my other son was here with us for the week. And I just really had the best time with those guys. My oldest son's 19. My middle son's 13. But they're both like freaking 6 foot tall. And so it was like, and that's, you know, real quick. One of the things I have that wears on me is that I have not been doing very much stuff. Right, I've been going to work, and I've been coming home, and I've been sitting and watching TV. I've been caught up in politics. It's been eating me alive, and it's all around me, right? You're either this or that, and if you're this, then they hate that, and if you're that, then you hate this, and it's just been toxic. And when my boys were down, I said, guys, let's go down to the beach. You know, we live at the beach. And I said, let's do some urban walking, right? And there's nothing going on down there, but we drove down and we ended up walking 2.2 miles. And, you know, just bullshitting. You know, it is a lesson in, you know, restraint from pen and tongue when you have a 19-year-old that's at college. Especially when I'm more, I feel like I'm really just basic common sense politics. But at college, you know, they get that liberal kind of shit going on, which, you know, whatever, is, you know, to each his own. But, you know, I find myself, all I hear is my dad just lecturing about, you know, what it was like and where we're at and blah, blah. And so I've had to sort of restrain from that because I want to hang out with them. I don't want to, like, fight about shit. And so we had a great time. We walked down in the town probably 3 days out of the week they were here. My son did a lot of stuff for us while he was here, which was really great, you know, washing dishes. You know, he wasn't here to do the dishes, but after I'd make dinner, he'd do the dishes right away, where the other two kids were like, somebody needs to do the dishes, and it's a freaking, like, pulling our hair. And he's here, he's doing dishes. He's like, what else can I do? And I'm like, man, So it, great freaking week. Just love that guy. And, you know, every time I see him, I remind myself, you know, him and I went through this journey together, right? I remember when I got out of that rehab and his mom called me, she said, it's your week, come get him. And he was one. And that night we went, or that day we went to an outdoor AA event down in Bethany. And I just remember I need to do this different. And him and I went to a lot of meetings and strollers and car carriers and all that shit. And I just, you know, I appreciate him being patient with me. And I, you know, part of me wants to apologize for whatever got us to this place, but I know it's not really, he's fine, I'm fine, so, yeah. But I really, you know, like I said, I really want to get back into doing the podcast. Also, you know, I need to lighten up a little bit. I have this sort of thing where I need to save the world, and I don't, I'm just a guy trying to stay sober one day at a time, and this podcast is just me sort of sharing that and some music, and you know, I'm not a professional, I'm just a guy. And I need to lighten up because, you know, I start feeling like I need to say something that's going to save the room. And the reality is I don't have anything to save the room. I'm just barely hanging on. So I'm going to lighten up and start having some more fun, sharing my stories, my life, what it was like, what happened. And so grateful for what it's like now and just try to get back into it and just not be so stressed out about things. All right, let's see what this says. Today, Daily Reflection, March 31st. No one denied me love. All right. On the AA calendar, it was year two. A newcomer appeared at one of these groups. He soon proved that his was a desperate case and that above all, he wanted to get well. He said, since I'm the victim of another addiction, even worse stigmatized than alcoholism, you may not want me among you. Well, interesting. I'm always blown away by these daily reflections and how, you know, they're relevant in the moment, right? In my day. You know, a victim of another addiction, right? Food, right? All right, 12 steps, 12 traditions. I came to you, a wife, mother, woman who had walked out on her husband, children, and family. I was a drunk, a pill head, a nothing. Yet no one denied me love, caring, a sense of belonging. Today, by God's grace and the love of God, of a good sponsor and a home group, I can say that through you in Alcoholics Anonymous, I am a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and a woman. Sober, free of pills, responsible. Without a higher power, I found in the fellowship, my life would be meaningless. I am full of gratitude to be a member of good standings in Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, like I said, you know, whether it's drinking, pills, food, money, sex, you know, all of those, they're all spiritual maladies, unfortunately. And they can all be addressed through this program. You know, I came in this program an alcoholic. I changed my sobriety date because of pills. But believe me, when I was on the pills, the alcohol was right there. And actually, I shouldn't say that. When I was on the pills, I was not drinking. Yeah, there was a time prior to when I was really struggling that I was, you know, on pills and drinking. But after I went out up to York, Pennsylvania, and came back, I was still taking the pills, but I was not drinking. But yeah, you know, these things pop up. And, you know, luckily today I'm aware of it and I know what I need to do. And I'm grateful for that. And, So, yeah, thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll catch you later. Bye.